You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Michael K. is on the radio today. And he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K. Show.
Michael K. is on the radio today. So turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, February 21st, 2024. Michael, Don, and Peter with you until 6:30. A lot of stuff to do, a lot of stuff to talk about. We start off with what could be a concerning news out of Port St. Lucie. Kodai Senga throwing and felt some fatigue in his arm. He's going to be checked out by the Met people. And I'm going to be in the very a positive position of being somebody to calm down Met fans' nerves. This happens in spring training. It just does. Now, it could end up being something big. In all likelihood, it's not going to be. He's your number one starter. You need him healthy. And just because, you know, they shut him down because there was some soreness or some fatigue doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It happens in spring training all the time. I wonder why it does, because obviously you're throwing before you get on the mound in spring training, but something cropped up today that concerned them and they shut him down. Right. But I don't think it's the end of the world.
No, I don't know. Is it? Is it not? Obviously, when you're a Met fan, you're going to feel like, yeah, it is the end of the world because everything seems to be the end of the world. But because he is your number one starter and your best hope of being competitive, you can't take any chances.
No,
so shut him down. He feels a little fatigue. All right, no big deal. This is what spring training is for. This is why starting pitchers and catchers show up early, because they've got to work ahead of everybody else. That's why you've been saying over the last couple of weeks, these free agents, these Boris clients that are sitting out waiting for a contract that think they can just show up the week before the regular season starts and be ready for the beginning of the season are going to hurt themselves. It's progress, and because everybody cares, it doesn't fly under the radar like it might have 30 years ago when it would have been no big deal and he would have fought through it and not told anybody about the pain, and then something would happen later on. So I'm erring on the side of it not being a big deal. But Michael, it's not like they can afford to lose him. they can't afford to have any problems with him at all. It's not going to be a great season, most likely, to begin with. And if you lose your ace for any length of time, it's going to be epic.
I'll say this. It's not Diaz getting hurt in the World Series of whatever the hell it was called.
The World Series of Poker Baseball.
The World Series of Poker Baseball.
The World Baseball Classic.
The WBC. It's not that. We dealt with worse news last year if you're a Mets fan.
That crippled them. Will hurt, too. He's their number one starter.
But this could be so many things. We're 6 weeks
away. Right, that's
why
I'm saying don't even freak out.
This isn't someone crumbling on the mound.
Yeah, don't fret.
Don't cry.
But you can understand a Met fan, you know, worried, because these things do happen to them and to us. So I'm not going to get mad at a Met fan for being concerned about it, but it does make me feel better that people around baseball are saying that it's no big deal.
Now, I'm going to tell you this.
Go ahead.
And I'm going to ask you to get close to the speaker, but I really am really riled up Met fans, guys.
Why? I didn't notice.
Well, you know that argument that we had the other day about, mm-hmm. You know, my point was that the Mets' biggest advantage is the wallet,
right,
of Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not they've taken that advantage out of play, as you mentioned, to build up for future years.
Right.
But this year, they've left a lot on the table that they could have done because of the money. And we never thought that was going to be an issue with Cohen. But boy, did that really start up a hornet's nest with our good Met fans. How dare Yankee boy do that? I mean, would you like me to...
Well,
read some?
I would like to hear it. Yes.
Yeah. It's a very unhappy group of people.
All right. I want to hear it.
Okay.
Because I want to see if
you can be staying too much.
Eddie Wilkowski.
Okay.
K is one step away from AM oblivion, where no one will be able to hear his crap over the static. What? He's a Yankee sycophant. When's the last time he criticized them? Who cares what he says about the Mets?
Okay.
David Vaynerchuk said, I'll be curious to see if Michael K heaps praise on the Mets next offseason, if and when they spend big. I mean, have I praised the Mets? Many times.
Listen, I've been here with you every step of the way for the last going on 22 years. I've heard it all.
Then Chris Monty says, that's what K wants the Mets to do, so they don't steal Soto from his boys that are petrified of a luxury tax. Chris, you're so silly. I mean, you really think I'm doing the Yankee bidding so they could sign Soto? They're afraid of the luxury tax. Do you realize, Chris, and I'm talking softly so you really get it, do you realize that they're at the top luxury tax level right now, just with the Mets, so they're not petrified of the luxury tax. It looks like Cohen might be this year. That's why you're not signing anybody that could actually help you. That's why you don't have a DH. That's why you're probably a starting pitcher short. Another person, Jeff Cohen, his logo is Mr. Met. Mm. K is just doing his job as the Yankee propaganda voice.
Oh, no.
No Met fans take him seriously, and many Yankee fans as well.
Interesting.
Jeff, how's it working out for the Kester?
Well, you know, why do you bother?
Because it's just funny how you rile up a fan base. I have been behind the Mets so much, especially when they had Buck Showalter as manager. And I'm sorry, Don and I had a very spirited conversation about it. They are the most. It would be like Nolan Ryan saying, "I'm not throwing my fastball. I'm just going to get you out with curves." The fastball the Mets have is Steve Cohen's wallet. They've gone away from that. It might pay off in the future.
I guess the reason, listen, Yankee fans or Met fans are going to go after you because you're the Yankee announcer.
Right.
I mean, the same thing would happen if Gary Cohen had a show and was critical of the Yankees. It would be he's Met boy and the Yankee fans would all kill him. It's just the way it's the way of the world. Peter's right. You shouldn't let it bother you because obviously
they've got an
agenda.
No, it doesn't bother me at all. It bothered them.
It's got an agenda. But going back to the argument we had, I believe it was on Friday.
Mm-hmm. And the reason this has come up is that It got aggregated yesterday by awful
announcing.
People saw it.
So maybe they didn't hear it live, and they're reading about it, and I'm sure they cherry-picked quotes, Michael, and didn't hear or replay the entire conversation. The problem I had with you and the attitude that you had on Friday was that they don't have a plan. They have a plan. You may not agree with the plan, but they have a plan. And I'm hearing Met fans complain about this, too. Cohen, why don't we spend the money? On who? Who do you want them to spend money on?
Do you believe, honestly, do you believe they'd be better with you? And this is another thing that I'm not going to read every single silly tweet. Why don't the Yankees get these people? Because the Yankees right now are, Pecota projects them at 94 wins.
Oh, but,
they don't really need to get these people. The Mets are projected at 80 wins.
But wait a minute. All right, but who cares about the Pecota and all that stuff?
But that's what these guys deal with.
No, but the fact is that you're projected by the Pecota to win 92 games.
Mm-hmm.
Which may not win you the division, even though they have you with the most wins in the division.
Sure.
92 doesn't lock you in to anything. Certainly doesn't lock you into a championship. Your captain, Aaron Judge, believes there's going to be another move.
Mm-hmm.
You've said that there's still room for improvement.
Sure.
So I turned the mirror back on the Yankees. I was like, why aren't you going after Snell? Why aren't you going
because
after Montgomery?
There's not an urgency for it.
But there's not an
urgency. There's an urgency with the Mets. The Mets are projected not to make the playoffs.
But why is there an urgency?
Because they're not going to make the playoffs.
Well, because their end game is to build something more tangible. This is where you get into trouble.
And that's a smart move.
See, this is
where... But that's a smart move. Why can't you do both? Like the Dodgers.
But the Dodgers didn't do a thing last year. But they already had a very good team.
Right.
But so I'm supposed to, if I'm the Mets, spend a bunch of money. Just so I have to make the playoffs. This self-sense of urgency to be able to make the playoffs and possibly do damage to go after better free agents next year. I mean, you've admitted it makes sense to work in a budget because by just blowing up payroll, it could affect you international money,
Absolutely.
Draft picks.
Absolutely.
So it is pretty shrewd to be fiscally responsible and not spend like a drunken sailor until it is time to do it. And they look at the free agents next year and say, that's the time to go nuts. Yeah, I could give Jordan Montgomery a 3-year contract. Do I believe he's worth the money for that 3-year contract? Is that somebody they want to be part of their rotation beyond this year? Maybe the answer from Stearns is no. Now, they can cosmetically do that to try to build some kind of Fugazi run that may get him into the playoffs and may get people excited. But does it hurt them long term to now where they can't cash in on the better free agents? So they believe, and I agree with them, that they can be still competitive this year. I mean, mm-hmm. There's talent there. You still have Lindor. They just have Alvarez as a contract. You still have Alonso, who's in a walk
Alvarez
year.
Alvarez's not done yet.
Like they're going to get done. They're talking. That Alonso's in a walk year, so they're happening. He's going to have a beast of a season. You've got a former National League batting champion on the roster. Nimmo's an outstanding player. They believe that Beatty can turn out to be. So this whole idea that it's going to go off the rails, I'm not 100% sure. But I think the plan is that when really matters, so, and you're more than entitled to disagree with that, but this idea that he doesn't care, this idea that they're being cheap, it's all part of a plan. Just like the Yankees have a plan. The Yankees have the money to sign Blake Snell to whatever. Mm-hmm. But they realize, I don't know if it's smart to just give him whatever, give Jordan Montgomery whatever. So they're being smart, and the Mets are trying to be smart. And they're not going to succumb to the pressure of, well, I got to make the playoffs this year. I think that's when franchises get in trouble, when they feel like they got to put all their eggs in one basket to impress the fans. The fans want to see this team become great for a long, sustained period of time. And I think they are willing, as long as there's a plan, that if this ends up being an offseason, that's better than having a belief that you're going to win 110 games and win a World Series and have it snatched from you like it was last year.
But you don't have to do that, because the Diamondbacks made the playoffs the last day at 84 wins,
sure,
and they ended up going to the World Series.
And you don't think the Mets can get to 84 wins? They're projected to win 80. So you're telling me you can't win five more games than expected and sneak into the postseason?
They can, but you could probably make that more of a sure thing if you actually added
people. So I'll ask again.
Don't you think D. Martinez, a 1-year deal, is better than Vientos as a DH?
And they still might do with that. J.D. Martinez is still there.
Right.
And he is not a pitcher that needs a full spring training. He's a veteran.
Right.
Who the Dodgers signed for $10 million last year, in the same way the Mets might be able to get him and say, all right, we'll wait, and then we'll gobble him up. We'll see. He's still out there.
But what you're saying, and what I disagree with, and Met fans seem to think, I want the Mets to spend so that they can't get Soto next year.
No, that's
silly.
Listen,
I could give a crap, okay?
Right.
The Yankees have to do their business. If they want to keep Soto, they'll keep Soto. But my point is that you can do both. Because you say the Mets have a plan. The plan's different than it was 2 years ago. So their plan has pivoted completely in the opposite way.
That's what good organizations do when things don't go well.
But they didn't go terribly. They went terribly off the rails last year. As Peter said, Edwin Diaz getting hurt did not help matters. Did not help matters at all.
No,
I think the whole team crash mentally over it, and then they end up. But the year before, they won 101 games.
Right.
So they weren't a terrible team. You can actually sign a player that helps you now and still sign Soto next year.
I mean, they still could sign J.D. Martinez.
I don't know.
Who else?
But before all of this happened, I know they went after Yamamoto,
because
the Dodgers did.
And then because Yamamoto's part of a long-term plan. But anybody that's going to help them win this year, you're asking to sign a one-year contract. And players don't sign one-year contracts December and January.
But
they usually sign them in the 11th hour in February when they think they're not going to have a contract to sign.
Well, then maybe they would get J.D. Martinez. My only disagreement, I agree fundamentally everything you're saying, is that the man has $20 billion. He can do both. Now, he has already crossed the Rubicon about affecting draft picks. Everything he signs now, it's double the money. Same thing with the Yankees, same thing with the Dodgers, because they're over that fourth threshold. It doubles the money. So if you give somebody $30 million a year, you're essentially spending $60 million a year. But that's a bet they made by getting Scherzer and getting Verlander, and then they pivoted and they traded them and ate a lot of the salary, and they bettered their farm system. All of that is good.
Right.
But to say, okay, I love the people that I go, well, they're building something here. You know, so we'll sacrifice this year. Hey, everybody that says that, you could be dead next year. Don't you want to see something good this year?
Oh, well, but you still could.
Right, but that's a big...
Oh, so Justin Turner is all of a sudden going to move the needle?
It moves it more than Mark Vientos.
Well, but Mark Vientos is somebody that they believe with playing time can become a good player.
Mm-hmm.
So when you sign these one-year contracts to a Turner or to a J.D. Martinez, Now, I'm not saying that they won't do that or they couldn't do that, but does it come at the expense of, if I go out and get a third baseman for a one-year deal, now Beatty doesn't play. Maybe they want Beatty to play to see, am I going to have to go find a third baseman, or do I already have a affordable third baseman that with playing time can blossom into a really good player?
Isn't it less
Vientos was thrown to the wolves last year. You'd have to admit that.
Well, so was Beatty.
You know, and now with a whole season with less pressure to say, all right, go up there and prove to me that you could be a long-term answer to the team, isn't that better than signing a one-year contract? Now my future star doesn't play.
Sometimes,
I got to hit the pause button.
Sometimes you have to believe what a player shows you, because Alvarez thrown to the wolves and he did great.
Well, not right away.
But, Beatty did terribly the whole year.
Run. Right. And I don't know.
Well, the playoff run was, I mean, he was a baby then.
Right.
Last year he did very well.
Last year he did, yeah, he certainly did very well. Because, what if the year before was last year? And Alvarez got called up at the end of the season, went 0-for-8 with 7 strikeouts,
right.
Didn't do anything, and they go, oh, we need a catcher, sign a catcher to a one-year deal, and instead of Alvarez blossoming like he did last year, he sits and watches a veteran take his position for the 1 year. They're hoping that maybe a full season with
Beatty,
he had a full season,
and he went Vientos, down and didn't perform
right.
well.
Yeah, and there's an issue there, I agree. But you don't think Vientos, maybe with a full year, can blossom into a nice player?
Well, you know
I don't
what?
Know, maybe
that's
he will, maybe he
that's
won't.
What they're betting on. That's what they're betting
but
on.
But
let me ask you just straight out. Are you content with this Met team? Are you content with you? Are you excited about the season?
Well,
for the
listen.
Mets?
There's a bunch of different. I'm excited about the long term prospects of the team, and it certainly has come at the expense of my excitement in 2024.
Right.
But if the alternative is they plug in a bunch of 1 year deals, now I've got a chance of having an exciting season. But now I'm not sure that 2025 is going to be special. I'd rather do it this way.
But you're not sure 2025 is going to be special.
And I'm not sure if they signed all of these guys to the deals that they'd be great. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the Yankees are going to be this year. You're always betting on hope no matter what you do.
But you do have, I mean, there are statistical projections.
Who's
going to be good and who's going to be bad? Sometimes they're wrong.
To throw money at being presentable in 2024 to me is not a plan.
But I don't think that affects you in the future. You seem to think it does.
But certainly giving more than 1 year contracts would, and who have they passed on?
Would
sign a 1 year deal, and also B clearly be better than the alternative.
Forget about 1 year deal. I don't think that Jordan Montgomery, Sandy Koufax, by any stretch of the imagination. But he's a good, solid 3 or 4 starter. If you sign him to a 4-year deal, the Mets you think are going to be competitive in 25. You're not burying yourself. You got a pitcher that could slot in as a 3rd or 4th starter for the next 4 years.
Right, but I don't know. Does Stearns think he's a long-term answer? Is he worth the money that he's asking?
Obviously
so the answer
not.
Would be no. Then it's no. And then we'll see what free agents are available to the people that he is. I am... You make it seem like you've got to be competitive in 2024. You have to do whatever you can to be competitive. They have a huge fan base. I think most of the fans are on board with this slow burn. And I do believe there's talent. Peter, they have Lindor. They have Alonso. They have Alvarez. If Senga's healthy, he finished 7th in the Cy Young last year. It's not like they're bereft of talent.
No.
There's things to watch here. Nimmo's a nice player. McNeil's a really good player. So if things come together, this could be a fun year.
Agreed.
And also,
I think
maybe it'll be a disaster year. But everything's based upon expectations. Last year was a disaster because your expectations were through the roof. If they duplicate last year with zero expectations, it won't hurt nearly as much. So the disagreement I have with Michael, I don't see why you have to be competitive in 2024.
I think this is a fundamental misunderstanding between a Yankee fan and a Met fan. Met fan is actually somewhat satisfied. I think in the same way that I'm satisfied with what the Commanders are doing because they got the new ownership, I think Mets fans are still like, the Wilpons are gone. We're going to see this thing out and see how it goes. I don't think they have this expectation that it's now or bust that Yankee fans, and in this case, Michael, seem to have every single season. And I would argue, how's that working out for you? Is having those expectations every year that we need to make moves and go out and grab, has it led to a championship any sooner?
It's led to you being over 500 for 35 straight years.
And
that's a big deal.
But has that made the fans?
The fans, as we know, are irrational. But there are some Met fans, and one of them called in the other day, that can't be thrilled with this because they thought that when Cohen was here, he was going to be Steinbrenner Jr., and he was going to do everything that George did and spend and spend and spend. And he did for a while. And he did. And it didn't work out. They fired Buck Showalter. They brought in a new GM. And now they're going in a whole different direction.
All
that
I know
does not accentuate his money.
But let me explain something to you, because we've got a team in our town that kind of went through what you're hoping the Mets will do this year. And that's the New York Giants. Now, it wasn't from spending a ton of money, but they ended up having that great year unexpectedly in 2022 when 9-7-1 won a playoff game on the road. It ended up being just a flare and part of the process of what they were trying to go through. But then what ended up happening? Well, now you got to give Daniel Jones a big contract. He helped us go to the playoffs. Like, so sometimes when you put your eggs in the one basket for the one season, then what did you do? Then now that guy that you signed to a one-year contract, well, you got to bring him back. Peter, you got to bring, if you sign J.D. Martinez to one-year contract and he bats 350 and hits, you know, 35 home, well, you got to bring him back. We went to the playoffs with him last year. So you see sometimes those fugazi runs end up being fool's gold.
Oh, I
know have your plan, and we'll see if it ends up working. And is this free agent? You've got Cohen with billions of dollars spilling out of his pocket at a flea market. I'd rather have that money spilling out of his pocket at Nordstrom's. And that's what next year's free agency class is.
Let's go to the phone, see what you think. Let's go to Lovell in Yonkers. I'm sorry, Lovell. How you doing?
It's Lavelle. Listen, Michael, I'm a Yankee fan, but most importantly, I'm Carmi. I'm a Michael K fan, all right? But I got to be honest. Ever since that day that they traded Scherzer, and you were going on this tear about how, you know, Steve Cohen, oh, I thought he was so rich, it was kind of embarrassing to me as a fan of yours. Because it just seemed like you were, like, a little jealous of the move. Because think about it. That's a boss rich guy move, to say this team isn't working. I'm going to go ahead and trade it. I'm going to fill back up my... No other owner would eat that money. Hal Steinbrenner would not have eaten that money. That's not a businessman move. That's a boss move.
Well, I mean, I didn't have a problem with him doing that, Lovell. I disagreed because you're giving up on the season. I don't believe in giving up on seasons. I just don't. But, I mean, I have no problem with him doing it. That was a big-time move. I'm going to eat all this money to make my farm system better.
Now,
a lot of owners can't do
now
that.
Now we get into the fundamental disagreement that we're having here. You're not willing to take a knee on a season.
Never.
I am if I believe it's for the long-term good of the franchise. And listen, I don't believe in tanking. That's not what I'm saying. I want to be competitive every year.
But they essentially tanked when they made those moves. Now, it wouldn't have worked out anyway because they were ended up both getting hurt. But that you were tanking.
No, but I think sometimes...
The final 2 months of the season, you tanked.
But it wasn't strategic like we were doing it for a draft pick. They looked at it and say, is this going to result into anything? And they ended up being right. And the objective was to be able to replenish their farm system, which was an objective of Cohen when he bought the team. So there was an opportunity there, and they took it. That happens at the trade deadline. Mike, I don't know how you feel about it, Peter, because you're kind of... You've seen this argument all the time. From a tanking standpoint. When you get to the trade deadline and you decide to sell, that's not tanking to me. That just makes sense. Tanking to me is purposely losing. But when you get to the trade deadline and you say, we don't have any chance here, like the Commanders did when they made the deals that they made at the deadline, that's not tanking. That's shrewd business. And I think that's what the Mets did last year with Scherzer and Verlander. It made sense.
Agreed.
And now what happens this year? Neither of them are going to be ready for opening day. It ended up being the right move.
It did.
But that's where because you're the Yankee guy that believes every season you need to finish above 500 and have a chance to win. But I want to be the Yankee someday. I want to be able to be good for years. And sometimes you've got to look at it and say, all right, we got to do a slow burn here to get there and not just throw a bunch of money around into maybe what could end up being bad contracts to hurt our future plan.
Phil Sanchez writes... Born and raised in Queens, been a Mets fan my whole life. I have never been less excited for a season. I would actually be more excited if they did a full rebuild. They're wasting the best years of Lindor, Alonso, and Nimmo.
Well, Alonso, what are they going to do with him? Well, what do you care about the best years of Alonso? If he walks in free agency and you don't re-sign him, what does it matter?
Right.
Yeah, the Alonso part doesn't matter at this point.
But, Have those guys complained?
You have eight more years. Well, they're not going to complain.
What do you mean they're not going to complain? Athletes complain all the time.
But Lindor is really close with Cohen and his wife. But he's not going to complain.
Isn't Devers complaining in Boston?
Yeah, well, I mean, but Boston, the Mets are a monolith. Boston's an embarrassment what they've done.
I think if Lindor was unhappy, you'd hear him be unhappy.
Well, but maybe Lindor's on board with this.
Maybe he's bought in.
He's a young enough player. He's got a long contract here. He's tight with the owner. And to Don's point, thinks they can be a somewhat competitive team this year. Who knows? I said this a million times, I know. Did anybody have the Orioles pegged for 100 games last year? You just don't know what's going to happen in a given season.
Listen, I hate that they fired Showalter. I thought it was not necessary. But Carlos Mendoza is a really good baseball man. You got yourself a good manager.
And you know what? You talk about pivoting. If they're in this at the deadline, I think that they'll be aggressive and
they
try
could
to
pivot
see it
again.
Through.
Right.
All right, so a lot of stuff there. 1-800-919-3776 is Would You Wednesday, so that's always exciting. Met fans are really hating me, Yankee boy, so I'm going to lean into it.
What else is
there? I've told you that for years.
No, I mean, listen.
Met fans don't like
but
you.
But here's the thing that bothers me. See if you follow me. I say these things totally what I think is objective. This is how I feel.
Well, I know
And the Met fans also, I didn't read that, so he never rips the Yankees. Really? You should be on the other end of phone calls when I rip the Yankees.
Right.
I rip the Yankees an awful lot for people that actually, it's somebody who's the voice of the Yankees for 32 years. So you're all a bunch of creeps, okay? Every single one of you that thinks that. You don't have ears, you don't have brains, you don't know what you're talking about. I kill everybody. See, equal opportunity
this,
slayer.
You know what this is, Peter? This is leaning into it. He's leaning into the skit.
This is what he should have been doing.
All right, Don, let's talk about Mazda.
In 2024, you get more at Ramsey Mazda, more selection and more savings. For a limited time, they'll waive the first lease payment. Lease a new 2024 Mazda CX-30 for just $189 a month, and now get the first lease payment on them at Ramsey Mazda, Route 17 North. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 833-853-2970 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN RM636808. MSRP $26,445. Ends 2/29/24.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Rangers won again last night. Don on the call, 8 straight, and a great performance by Shesty.
He was very good. Yep. He had a couple of saves, Michael, on Sagan.
I don't know if you saw
the highlight. You know, third period, 2-1 game. That's big boy stuff. And Dallas is a really, really good team. That team could win the Stanley Cup, and no letdown after the stadium series stuff. So I thought that was terrific. And now they play the Devils tomorrow. I'll be at the Rock for that.
Well, we have the call of that save.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Sagan wins the draw clean. Heskin a couple of moves. Rashad gets deflected by Sagan. By Shesterkin. Rebound by Sagan. Another save by Shesterkin. And he gets the whistle.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Love it. Love everything about you.
That was a fun game. Well, thank you. I love everything about you.
No, not everything.
I can really see the hair coming in there, too. I think I take back everything I said.
About what?
That this isn't going to happen. It's going to happen.
I got to tell you, you know what? Losing a bet should hurt. You've always said that. I feel like a hobo. I went to a store today. I went to a CVS. I had to pick up a prescription. They looked at me like I was a shoplifter.
You can shave the rest of your face. You just have to sculpt the pusick and leave that unshaven. But you can.
Yeah, but I'll grow it out, and then it will end up with the pusick. This isn't bad for 4 days, right?
No, that's not bad at all for 4 days. But I think it would look better and less noticeable if you shaved everything but the pusick. Got to get Peter's opinion on this.
Oh, I mean,
I know it's disgusting. But I was going to say, I think this is a big win for us because Don never seemed to think this was going to happen, and I think this is going to be hideous for you.
It's going to be awful.
Yeah,
this is the way I dreamed of you having to grow a Gallagher.
Yeah, this is.
But you never lose.
No, I'm a big winner. This is already. This is already very bad.
Oh, it's awful. But I was just telling Don, and you stepped away. I feel like a hobo.
But wouldn't he be better?
I walked into CVS, people were moving away from me.
Yeah, no, I get it. I would move away.
Well, shouldn't he shave like the rest of his face? Do you think they would look better? And just keep the pusick unshaven?
He doesn't have a lot beyond the pusick anyway. It's mostly in that area.
No, there's a lot
I mean,
here.
Up in the, up the here, side, I guess. Yeah. Maybe. I think it's going to be, Don, I think it's, you're talking about.
Not what you want.
No, it's not good either way. This is punishment. We're getting. I'm
this is losing the bet.
I'm curious to see what the audience feels, but I feel like we're getting into an actual punishment here.
This is a punishment.
We just need. We need Flip to keep him away from the camera. We don't need some emergency.
Well,
hot stove.
The first game. Well, if they end up signing Snell, there might be an emergency hot stove.
Well, then we have to have a conversation with Flip on the air that he's going to have to allow you to look that way during the broadcast.
And we have our first game is Sunday, but we don't do on cameras for spring training games, so that's not a concern.
And can't you font it? And just
Michael
lost the bet just to explain away for the people.
Yeah, but
that
there
don't
are
listen.
A lot of people that are watching Yankee games that have no idea about the show and have no idea.
Well,
about
that's
a
why
bet.
I think it should be fonted. Michael lost the bet. This is why he's wearing this hair the way that he is.
Let's go to the phone, Steve in Connecticut. Steven.
Hey, what's up, boys?
How you doing?
Good. Just real quick, for my point, I know we wanted to delete from our memories that Richard called, but he had a different delivery. Very Seinfeld looking. And why is it called spring training?
You know, it's not a bad point. Yeah, yeah. I think you really found something there.
And what was this call? I heard
this
about
call
it.
Was, you know, why do they call it spring training? It's not spring. It should be winter training. Winter playing, you know, whatever. Winter's training. we'll hear that at 6.
Well, that was something. Wow.
Regarding the conversation with Matt Yankee deal, Mike, you're way off base and you're contradicting yourself a bit. I love you. I hate the garbage about, oh, well, they're fans. That's what it stands for fanatic. That we can't be objective because we don't collect a paycheck with our opinions. Mike, when did the Knicks start getting a feel like they were on the right path? When they stopped doing the Stevie Francis's, the Antonio McDice, the mess that was Isaiah. They could have made some quick fixes. I know LeBron didn't want to come there, Durant would, but there was other options. It finally felt right and got healthy when they.
But Steve, we can continue to go back and forth, but I'm not contradicting myself. A cap sport is a different story. The beauty of Steve Cohen is he's richer than everybody else. You can spend more than anybody else. And I'm not saying he's cheap. He has a $300 million payroll, but when you look at the product that's going to be on the field, that's not a $300 million product.
Yeah, but like Don said, who should they go out and get? The Knicks finally, I hate to keep bringing it back to the Knicks, but that's when it finally felt healthy. Just for you to say, get someone to take a knee on a season. Sometimes no one takes a knee on a season except teams that totally tank. But there's a.
Are you a Met fan, Steve? Are you a Met fan?
No, that's the point. I'm a fellow Yankee boy.
All right, but so you don't think? But I mean, if Met fans were honest and they put away their disdain for me, they're not that excited about this year.
I'm a Met fan. I'm not feigning interest or just kind of come up with the other side for good radio. I'm a Met fan. And I'm excited about the long-term health of this franchise. That's what I'm excited about. I want to be the Braves. I want to be the Astros. I want to be a perennial winner like the Mets were in the 80s.
And just because Steve Cohen's got money doesn't guarantee anything. The Orioles had money back in the 90s. What did it get them? A bunch of 90-plus win seasons and not even a World Series appearance. The Dodgers, all the money that they've spent, one Fugazi COVID championship since 1988.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I would like to be able to not just it be about money, but having prospects and sustain injuries and be able to survive because I can call guys up that can rake just like the guys that were starting
but the Dodgers,
and be in that position.
Dodgers finish first every year. That's not I mean, they're not Yankee fans. They're pretty happy with that. They want to win a championship.
No, but
when you build something sustainable, right. You can finish first every year.
No, but they also had, you know, they had great prospects and they had a farm system. I mean, you want to be able to build it up. The Wilpons left Cohen with very little. And he spent right away thinking like you, well, I got to make a splash. So let's give Scherzer money. Let's give Lindor money. Let's give Verlander money. It didn't work. And now he's brought in a good baseball person. And now they can kind of build. And I was just thinking about it during the break. Last year, they were derailed by injuries. And you said Diaz is coming back.
Right.
Senga's got another year under his belt. I mean, you've got a potential all-star at catcher. You've got an all-star at first. You've got a potential all-star at second. You've got a perennial all-star at shortstop. You just gave money to your center fielder. Do they have a championship caliber team? No. But why can't I go in there and look at a team that could finish above 500 with three wild cards, be alive in September?
Let's go to David in Little Falls.
It's too late.
Hey, David.
Good afternoon, fellas.
How you doing?
Doing good. Mike, I want to agree with you. I'm a frustrated Met fan, and I know Don's a good fan. But, Don, we're tired of just being content hanging around. When our new owner came in, we were all fired up to win now. 3 to 5 year plan. And now we're told, no. We're going to change, move the goalposts. We got to slow this thing down. And it's frustrating. And I'm tired of being close and no cigar.
Who do you want?
2000 playing.
Who have they missed out on? Who did you want to see them sign?
Don, I just want to win. I want a World Series.
But I also want to win and win and win some more. I mean, who do you want to sign that was going to instantly make them a contender for a championship this offseason? They tried to go after Yamamoto. It didn't work out. They had no shot at Ohtani. So who? You want to win. They actually spent money. It didn't work. And they won 101 games. And the other thing about the 101 games, Michael, they got blown away by the Braves like they were flat-footed in September and then got wasted by the Padres.
No,
so they won 101 games, but the way it ended told you that maybe they weren't as good as their record indicated they were. So I want to be able to build some of the long-term. That caller's frustrated. So am I.
But
do you think going signing a few ancillary deals to make them competitive this year is going to help the long-term health of the franchise?
But the one thing that I think of that I'm a little dubious, well, you know, they're saving the money because the free agent market next year is going to be a great. You know what? Both the Yankees and the Mets thought they were getting Yamamoto. They didn't. So you can see Soto's going to be a free agent. Max Fried's going to be a free agent. Walker Buehler's going to be a free agent. You might not get any of them. Just because you have the most money, it showed with the Yamamoto. Doesn't mean you get it. That's a bad
plan.
Now, if the plan is to build up the farm system, that's a different story. But that's not going to pay off with a championship in 25.
No, but there's going to be a lot of really good free agents, Soto among them,
right.
Where you want to make sure that you're in a position that when the ante gets continually raised, that you can hang.
But he can hang with anybody. That's my point.
So that's the only way I could be competitive. Have a $400 million payroll, outspend everybody else. Why can't I put together a really good baseball team that makes shrewd moves and actually builds a farm system and doesn't have to spend money on top of money? So I can only buy my championships. That's the only way. It's funny how the other sports, all of them very successful, all of them very popular, have a salary cap where you need a shrewd general manager and make the right decisions. But baseball, I can just go to the MLB store, buy all my best players, and win a championship. Like, that's the only way to do it?
That's what the Dodgers did this offseason. They went to the store.
Yeah, but a lot
they
of
got all the
and
best
they,
players.
And with all the money that they had, did they spend any money last year?
No.
J.D. Martinez, that was it. Why? So even with all their
fortune.
Because
they wanted to reset, but the Mets aren't resetting. The Dodgers got under the threshold. That allowed them to do what they wanted to do. The Mets haven't reset because they're being weighed down by paying Verlander and Scherzer's salaries.
And they don't want to be weighed down any further unless there's a really good deal that can come along that's 1 year.
Are they going to reset next year, or are they going to spend again and go over the cap?
Well, then we're going to see, but I'm sure. But 2025 seems to be where they're at.
Let's go to John in Kansas City. John,
there, Michael. Thanks for taking the call. I'm a Mets fan who just happens to be out here in Kansas City. But my question is, I see both points of view from you and Don. They're both very good points of view, but is the canary in the coal mine really going to be Pete Alonso here and how they're pursuing him this year? Because it seems right now that David Stern's not really having talked to him very much. I'm wondering if they're not going to pursue him that hard and there's a good chance that he goes in free agency, then what really is the level of competition that the Mets are going to be putting forward in 2025?
To defend the other side, if you lose Pete Alonso, you probably spend whatever you have to spend to get Soto or another great free agent that's out there. I just think that what they've done, and let's see if it pays off. Interesting strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it works out. They have decided we're going to be fiscally responsible. Good for them. But as I said, you're taking away Nolan Ryan's fastball. So there's a certain amount of money you want to pay Pete Alonso.
Right.
And that's it. And then after that, you move on. Like the Yankees did with Snell. We offered you this. You want more? We're out. We're out. Right. So if you're going to be fiscally responsible, that means across the board. Are you going to be fiscally responsible for everybody? You weren't fiscally responsible with Scherzer and Verlander.
No,
that
you weren't.
That was crazy.
Right. So then that was a mistake and they pivoted. I don't know why you always feel, Michael, when you make a mistake, that the only option is to double down. Why can't you admit you made a mistake and move on and do something different? And obviously, there's something not to like about Pete Alonso that they don't want to sit there and give him $50 million a year.
Okay.
And just because I happen to be a billionaire doesn't mean I have to pay the billionaire tax and overpay for everybody. I don't think Pete Alonso's worth $50 million a year.
But
I'm not even sure he's worth 40.
He's not. He's not going to get it. But you do realize that it's Cohen that moved the goal lines. By blowing past 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, and gave Scherzer 43.5 and the same thing to Verlander. So you have, if you look at his payroll, he's not cheap at all. I'm not saying he's cheap. He's over $300 million, but you got to be honest with you, this is not a $300 million team. You look at the Dodgers, that's a $300 million
team. But again, I don't understand. So you make a mistake, that means you have to continue to make the same mistake. That was also before Stearns.
Right.
And now Stearns probably comes in and can be his conscience and say, listen, Steve, that was a mistake. If I were here, I would have advised you not to get Verlander and Scherzer.
Probably what he said.
So isn't that smart rather than to continue to die by the sins you committed a couple of years ago?
I think David Stern is smart. David Stearns is smart. I think he was really short-sighted not even talking to Showalter. That showed me a little bit of a dent in the armor. And he never won anything in Milwaukee. I know he had a low payroll, and they made the playoffs, never won anything. So let's see him win something. Because now, like Andrew Friedman, he was with the Tampa Bay Rays. And when he went to the Dodgers, he brought along all the smarts from the Rays and spent a lot of money. Let's see if Stearns could do both. Because it seems like he's running the Mets fiscally responsibly, like he had to for Mark Attanasio with the Brewers. You don't have to do that with the Mets because of Steve Cohen.
I've got a question to ask you on this topic.
Okay.
When we come back.
Would you? So you want to save it till 4?
Yes.
Okay.
It's worth saving till 4. Just remind me because I'll forget.
All right. Make your move and rise up to Mazda from Bay Ridge Mazda with over 200 new Mazdas to choose from and 0% APR financing available. Now's the perfect time to discover the power, performance, and pleasure that comes from driving a Mazda. Move up today before their exceptional February offers expire. Online buying and at-home test drives available at BayRidgeMazda.com. Bay Ridge Mazda at 9000 4th Avenue in Brooklyn or on approved credit. See dealer for details and 229-24. Getting engaged will be one of the most exciting times of your life, and the winning team at London Jewelers is there to help you pop the question. The cutting-edge technology and trained professionals at London Jewelers can help you select a ring from their 2 by London collection or design the absolute perfect ring at any budget. So whether you're starting out or starting over, let the engagement experts at London Jewelers help you. Visit London Jewelers at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Manhasset and the Mall at Short Hills.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. It's uncomfortable.
No, I don't think I could.
Really? But she's total smoke show.
At times incriminating.
Well, hold on.
Let's not be rash.
Let's not be, Don, hold on, but don't answer yet.
And a Michael K. Show favorite.
Michael, you're such a child.
It's the Would Ya Game.
We play it off the air all the time. The Would Ya Game. All right. Did you know that Would Ya Wednesday on 98.7 ESPN is driven by Ramsey Mazda? So I'm going to let the fans take over for the most part because they have sent some really good would you.
All right.
Here we go. Which John from Beacon goes, would you rather eat a snowball covered in dog urine or have a mouse crawl over you for an hour?
Wait. A snowball covered in dog urine. You have to eat the snowball, you said?
Yeah. Or have a mouse crawl all over you for an hour.
I guess I got to go with the mouse.
I would go with the mouse.
So would I.
I can't even
believe that was a hard one.
I don't dig either one, but that's why it's would you.
Yoni Bobker says, "Would you rather your this is a good one? Would you rather your friends remove you from the group chat, or make another group chat behind your back without you?"
That's both bad.
Yeah,
right?
It's awful.
I guess I'd rather be removed.
Yeah, I'd rather be removed.
I don't even know if that's a thing.
Because then I did something.
You can kick someone from a group chat?
Yeah.
Anyone can kick anyone from a group? But no.
Yeah, you could. You're out, Peter, and then it's just...
Oh, they say it to you. Okay.
Yeah. Jordan Greer writes, would you guys rather walk in on your spouse cheating on you or see a viral video of your spouse cheating on you?
That's an interesting one.
I think walk in.
Yeah, you'd rather share it with just the pain with yourself than the rest of the world. Viral video. Important to note, viral
video. That means other people are in on that your marriage is over, your relationship is over, the world knows, it's there. You know, and then there's confirmation too, right? Because then if you really are in love and just trying to find any excuse, well, maybe the video isn't real. Walking in, there's immediate closure and you could deal with it right there on the spot. Right?
Yeah.
And would you think do you think you'd kill the guy?
Well, here's the thing.
Beat him to a pulp?
He's thought about this a lot.
Now, I don't know if I ever told you about this arrangement that me and John Stark made back in the day.
No.
It was more him than me.
So it's not a marriage.
He was saying that that let's say this is when we were like we weren't married, we were dating. It's like what would you do? If John's girlfriend came to me and said, listen, I really want to be with you. I love John, but I really need to sleep with you. Mm-hmm. John's plan was that I tell John. John lets me sleep with her. And then like he hides in the closet, jumps out and goes, we're done. We're through. Because he's going to break up with her anyway once I tell him that she said that to me. Why not let me have a little fun?
You know, it's
probably the brightest thing John's ever said.
But what
strong.
But what this all comes down to is, why is it the guy's fault? It's her fault. She's cheating on me.
They're both just
the guy's just looking to break off a piece.
Yeah, the married person, I think,
the married person's always the worst.
Now, if it's a friend of mine.
Oh, yeah. If it's John somebody Stark. That knew that, then that's a different story. But if my significant other just picks up a random guy, why is it the guy's fault? He might not even know the situation. Might not even know that she's married or with somebody.
Now, this is from our good friend who listens to every second of the show. I wish he had a meter. Steve Brzezinski.
Oh.
And it's a good one. Mm-hmm. Would you rather be stuck in an elevator with the most annoying person ever for a few hours waiting for
someone
help to arrive?
Someone say Steve Brzezinski. No, I'm just kidding. Keep going.
Peter said that. But
or would
kidding.
You rather be stuck in the worst traffic during the summer with no functioning air conditioning in your car?
Hmm. Stuck in an elevator with the worst person mm-hmm. in the world or stuck in the traffic with no AC?
Right.
I'm going traffic and AC.
Yeah, I agree.
Sweltering hot.
I get it.
Sweltering,
it would
but
kill
yeah.
a dog.
I know, but
well,
I still have my...
If literally I had my dog with me, then I'd go to the elevator. But if it's me alone, I'd suffer through the heat.
Right.
Rather than suffer through...
And also, I don't know what you call this. It's not claustrophobia. But sometimes I get anxiety when I can't control, like, leaving someplace.
Well, in traffic, you can't.
No, I could get out of the car.
Worst case, you get out of the
worst
car.
Worst case, if I have a panic attack, I can get out of the car. I can walk up and
full
you know,
Michael
down.
Douglas falling down.
But in the elevator, I'm not going
with
anywhere.
With those glasses he showed
we're
us,
stuck.
That's him.
Yeah.
Like, that's always been my problem with the plane. I'm not afraid to fly. It's just that if we're in the middle over the Atlantic Ocean, I can't say, all right, it's time. I want to go now.
Right.
I could always pull a bus over, right, or a car, or even the train's going to have a stop at some point.
All right, so this is, it's kind of forming into a new thing, would you? And this is a good one from Robert Mazzocchi. Who would you rather be, guys? Derek Jeter or George Clooney?
George Clooney, easy. I'd rather be an actor than a Yankee.
The Clooney thing would be more fun now.
And like Clooney, I'm going to get yeah. jumped and I don't care. Clooney's way cooler than Jeter.
Clooney? Because Jerry Clooney is taking Jeter.
No, Clooney's, because you know what? It's in my head, because Jerry was at the hockey game last night.
There you go.
So it was in my head. So my stupidity had a reason.
Yeah.
Clooney's got a sense of humor.
Don's 15th book.
You'd rather hang with George Clooney than you would Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter's kind of stuffy. He's not interesting.
I'm not stuffy. He's very good. He's very funny with his friends.
He's getting very good on TV, too.
Oh, he's very good.
Actually, who's cooler, honestly?
No,
one's a much better baseball player. I get it. But I'm just saying, if you had that, put your Yankee fandom aside, people out there. If you just had to kill 30 minutes at a DMV standing next to somebody, who's going to entertain you more?
Probably Clooney. For me, the Clooney part is that it's a longer run. But I will say this, the heights of Jeter's highs are more fun than
Clooney. Because remember, if you're Clooney, you have to be on Facts of Life, too.
Yeah, and by the way,
Jeter never really had to be on Facts of Life.
And also, being an actor...
Well, that was when he was with the Clippers, the Columbus minor league. He was there for a bit,
5 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that was Facts his of Life.
Now, but
what was another wrong? You hang with Blair?
Yeah, but by the way, but being
and Tootie?
No, I'd hang with Tootie, all right. But here's the thing. But being on
and Nat?
Being on set of films, it's not nearly as fun as playing a sport.
But there's a lot of practice and working out.
No, there's other stuff.
And Neil being up for an Academy Award, like that's up there with winning a World Series, right?
No,
I think they're equal.
I think Clooney's fair. I think Clooney's fair.
All right, so very quickly, Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig? Both short lives.
Ruth lives like a maniac. I'm going Ruth.
Yeah, well, then, you know, and listen, death is bad no matter how you look at it, but Garrick's death was...
Everyone knows your time is limited when the disease is named after you. You know you're
in
trouble.
I don't think it was then, but I get what you're saying.
And listen, Garrick was amazing.
Right.
But Ruth had a good... He rang it out.
And finally, would you rather be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar...
Or Lou Alcindor.
Or Wilt Deep. Chamberlain.
No, listen. This is going to be bad. Kareem's just a better guy.
Who is
Kareem?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a true.
How do you know that Wilt's not a good guy?
Well,
it's not that he wasn't a good guy.
You can't sleep with that many women and be a decent guy.
Well, that's ridiculous.
No,
what an asinine statement.
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
As long as he's up front with people.
Yeah, but still, you could argue.
I'm sure there was a few inappropriate relationships.
When you're talking about
that number of people, all right, let's say salt of the earth. It's Kareem. He's one of the top five human beings.
He's had a hell of a run.
Well, I mean, if you watch Winning Time, he wasn't very nice to some of his teammates.
No, no, he's grown up in front of our eyes, sure. And Kareem had a longer run.
Yeah.
He's still, you know, yeah. still with us. I am worrying about him. He's starting to get pretty old, though.
Yeah, well, that's usually happens when you get old.
It's a byproduct of age.
That's the thing about getting old.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. I go wilt.
Wow.
Yeah, knock him, slam him down and smack him.
I got to tell you. Just staring at him while he was talking.
Yeah,
you pivot. Nailed it with the pivot. Yeah, pivot. You really have.
Yeah,
and I he's, no, it's pejorative with his old school thing. I think just overall pivot, and I think it's a good look.
My I told you what my savage father said, didn't I?
I don't know if you told the people on the air.
No, that my dad was like, "Oh, the glasses, they look great. Oh, I love it. I love it. They look so good. It takes the attention away from your big bald head."
You don't have a big bald head. You have a bald head, but it's not big.
But I know, but it's my dad, I think, has an insecurity about my baldness. So this makes him feel better.
He has an insecurity about your baldness. Well, you seem like you embraced it.
I don't care about the baldness at all. I think he was insecure when he went bald.
But he's not as bald as you.
No.
But your brother's not bald.
My brother's cue ball.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, bald as can be.
I guess he left no impression.
And by the way, good or bad? Yeah, I guess not. Bad or good news? I found out I'm blind as a bat today. So
we'll get into that in a moment. That's Would You Wednesday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Don has a question to ask when we come back. So I'm reminding him right now. We'll take more of your phone calls as well. But first, Don has to, not Don, but it's Peter, actually, who is thinking about that great movie with Vince Vaughn and the
Dodgeball.
Like. Yeah.
Hey, New York's Peter Rosenberg for Security Dodge, Long Island's Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Right now, you can lease a new 24 Dodge Hornet RT for only $299 a month with zero down. That's right, $299 a month, zero down, all during the President's Day sales event. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com.
The Dodge Hornet RT is the most powerful compact UV based on 2023 IIHS's compact SUV segment latest available competitive information. Quickest based on 0 to 60 time of 5.6 seconds. Most powerful based on 288 horsepower. Best handling based on 0.9 max G's skid pad vehicle dynamics rating. A weight distribution of 52-48 and car and driver dynamics testing.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.